So if I was going to go out and I just wanted to cook some quick steaks for an evening that go with like mashed potatoes, like your typical yummy barbecued steak, what is the best cut of meat that I should come in?
Well, you know, there's not one cut I would say that is like better than the other. It really comes down to preference. It's almost like wine. Like you're going to have a different experience with kind of each cut of steak that you're going to try. Of course, there's some that are more tender than others, some that are more flavorful than others. But it is going to come down to preference. And, you know, we have three steaks that are really, really popular. That's our top sirloin baseball, our ribeye steak, and our New York strip loin steak. And each of those steaks are fantastic, but they're very different. So if you are looking for, like, a good balance between flavorful and tenderness, the ribeye, that's kind of my favorite. I think it's absolutely wonderful. You have a couple different muscles that are part of that spot of the loin. You have the cap, which is really, really nice and tender and flavorful. And then you also have the eye of the steak, which is flavorful as well, not quite as tender, but it's really, really nice and consistent.
What on earth is the eye of the steak? I'm confused.
Yeah, so if you the next time that you're checking out some steaks and you see the ribeye, you're going to and you start looking at it with a different eye, a different set of eyes, you're going to be you'll notice that there's actually two parts of the muscle. So unlike the strip loin, where it is just one single muscle and the fat's really situated to the outside. That's why people like that steak so much, because it's really, really nice and easy to eat. All the fat's on one side if you're not a big fan of fat. But then with the ribeye, you'll notice that fat is actually on the inside of the steak. So you have the cap, which is on the outside. You'll have the marbling, which is on the inside. And then the eye, which is going to be the big part of the ribeye steak.
So each mouthful, you're going to get a little hint of that fat, I guess, is the
idea.
Absolutely, yeah. So you get almost like a different experience as you're eating your way through the steak, which is why I really, really like that.
And so it is true. Like I've always used to cut the fat off of everything, right? And I guess in the 80s, we were like, get rid of all the fat, cut it off, lean, lean, lean.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that, you're really taking out a lot of the flavor.
I believe so, absolutely, and especially with we specialize with grass-fed beef. So the fat from a grass-fed cattle is actually a lot healthier for you as well. Mm. So you're getting more of those omega-3s. Your body is able to digest it a lot easier, and I think the flavor is absolutely wonderful with that.
Oh, you can't beat
it. So how should I prepare a cut like this if we're talking about the round? The ribeye. Yeah, how would I prepare that? Do I need to, you know, soak it overnight in anything, or is it just salt and pepper straight to the barbecue?
Yeah, great question. And again, it is going to come down to preference, but I personally really like to keep it simple. But there's a few tips that I think a lot of people don't follow, but it makes a steak on the barbecue a million times better. And, you know, the first one is to make sure you dry the steak before even pan fry and on the barbecue and get rid of that moisture. The moisture is like your enemy when you are cooking anything in a frying pan or on the barbecue. You want to get rid of that moisture so that as soon as it starts cooking, it's now sizzling and you're getting that caramelization or the char happening as quickly as possible. As soon as you pat that dry, make sure you let it rest for at least 20 minutes before you're going to cook it. Get it up to room temperature, because if you don't have it at room temperature, what's going to happen is you've got a cold steak you're putting on the grill, and you're going to start cooking the outside where the middle is going to be raw, and eventually when that middle starts to get to that spot where you want it, that nice medium or medium rare, the outside is too cooked. So you're not going to have an enjoyable experience.
It makes sense.
Yeah, this makes sense.
If you follow those two things, it is your steak is going to be better right off the bat.
I never thought of that.
No, not at all. But it all makes sense. And then, like, Tara's asking, as for seasoning, is it better to... I never know. Is marinating it overnight going to give it that much more flavor when my man cuts through his meat?
For sure. So I would say this. If you have a really nice cut of steak, a nice cut, I would not recommend marinating it. But again, it's coming down to preference. I really, really like to enjoy the flavor of each steak. So I like salt and pepper, or we have a steak seasoning that I use quite often as well.
So don't marinate, you're saying. It's just unnecessary, pretty much?
Well, I wouldn't say it's unnecessary. Definitely, like with some cuts, you do want to marinate. It's want to break, especially when you get some acidity. put into that marinade. That's going to help break down some of the fibers. On a tougher steak, it's going to make it more tender. But when you go and you purchase yourself a really, really nice steak, you don't need to do much to it. It's going to be absolutely beautiful.
So if you're buying like the cheaper quality steaks, you're shopping on a budget, then yeah, you're going to want to throw some, you know, acidic sauce over top of it to break it down a little for you.
I would recommend that. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is going to come down to preference. If you're buying like a round steak, you definitely, I would recommend that you give it a good marinade.
Nice. So how hot should my barbecue be when I'm throwing this on? Do I want it like fire and sizzle and I cook it on a hotter
temperature?
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen. I cook it on a hotter temperature for less time. Or is it more of a medium, you know, slow cook and watch it?
Yeah, so anytime that you're cooking a steak on the barbecue, you want to make sure your barbecue is roaring hot.
Okay.
Really, really nice and hot. So as you're letting that steak rest for 20 minutes before you're going to be cooking it, let your barbecue get up to, you know, over 400 degrees for sure. Closer to the 500 mark is going to be even better. And then when you toss that on there, so you now have a nice room temperature steak. There's no moisture on it. So as soon as it hits that grill, you're going to start getting those perfect char lines on it, and it's going to turn out wonderful.
And it's going to
look about that presentation.
It's going to look amazing too.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. And it's funny, we should never do these interviews after the morning show because we're both starving right now. And I'm like, where's the nearest barbecue place
just
we could go out
for? Yeah, going for lunch.
Yeah, so where do you guys source your meat from then at Meridian Meats?
Yeah, fantastic question. So we specialize with 100% grass-fed beef, so it's never brought to feedlots. It's 100% pasture-raised its entire life. And where we're able to get consistent supply as well as just fantastic quality is New Zealand.
Wow.
So in New Zealand, they're able to grow grass in a minimum of 10 months of the year. So in doing so, the farmers are able to grow cattle 10 months of the year or longer. Without having to supplement with any grains, any corn, any silage. So you get a really, really pure flavor with grass-fed beef.
Excellent.
Interesting.
So good to know, too, and healthier. And goodbye U.S.-grade meat, right? New Zealand's where it's at.
Yeah, well, it's again, you don't have a different flavor with when you're getting a grain-finished product. But I personally, I really enjoy 100% grass-fed beef. I think it's great for the animal, and it's delicious as well.
Yeah, just has that cleaner taste to it, too.
Absolutely. So do you guys butcher any meat that, say, somebody comes in and it's a steak that they need cut up or anything like that? Or is it something that they would ask you and you guys would supply for them?
Yeah, we would definitely supply for them. But if anybody wants something, you know, cut into cubes, cut for stir-fry, we are happy to do that. We get that request all the time, especially for something like chicken. Once you get home, you don't want to put chicken on the block or anything like that. We're happy to. We have certified butchers at all of our locations.
Well, and I'm really bad with a knife. I don't have really any sharp knives, and I'm not great with one. So there's oftentimes I'm like, I really want this chicken filleted, or I want it thinner to do something with, and I just don't have the right tools. So that's something I could ask the butcher to do for me.
We are happy to do that.
Awesome.
For sure.
That's good
what
to
we're
know.
There for.
Any other questions?
No, I think I've got enough. Vanessa's got one, though.
I've got one. I want you to settle the score in our house. So my fiance, perfect, Derek, is hell-bent that the proper steak doesn't require a steak knife to cut through. He's gone so far, he won't even set the table anymore with steak knives. You should be able to use a regular knife to cut through it. Is there anything to this, or is he just completely pulling my leg?
No, he's not pulling. Again, we're getting down to preference with it. So my dad, for instance, he's a master butcher, and his very favorite steak is a top sirloin. So that was the other steak that I was talking about.
Delicious sounding.
And out of those three steaks, top sirloin, ribeye, and strip loin, top sirloin is definitely is tougher than both of them. But it has a certain flavor, the top sirloin, and he absolutely loves it. So with a nice top sirloin steak, you aren't going to cut through with just with the fork or with the butter knife.
Regular knife.
But it's going to be, it's preference. It's going to be a great, great steak. Now, if you want a really, really nice tender steak, you're going to want to look at tenderloin. And that's where you're for sure going to be just taking a fork and putting it through it, no problem.
Okay, so those ones, yeah, no professional steak required if it's properly cooked and everything. All right,
you got it.
Tell Derek not to listen when we air this bit, then, I guess, hey?
I'm still not getting Mitty's right, but yeah, thanks for settling
it. Are there different, there's not really any different cuts for barbecuing chicken. Like, you get the breast, I mean, the breast is my favorite part. The thigh, I'm not a big fan of the brown meat. Is there certain tips or techniques for barbecuing chicken? Because I know you have to be a little more careful with the temperature of your chicken.
Yeah. Well, definitely. So we sell lots of marinated chicken breasts, and there's cooking instructions on our label, on all of our labels. So they're pretty easy to cook and fairly forgiving as well.
Yep.
If you're cooking something with skin on, that's where kind of getting back to our first tips we were talking about. Make sure there's zero moisture, because you'll actually get some really, really nice crisp happening on the barbecue for it.
Mm.
And they turn out fantastic like that.
Yeah, got to say something for the chicken eaters.
Yeah, same thing. Let it rest for like 20 minutes or so on the counter before throwing it on.
Yeah, you know, once we start talking about resting chicken, sometimes people can get a little funny about it. But for me personally, I like to get things a little bit warmer. Maybe not as long as I would have a steak out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you will get a more consistent cook if you take the chill off anyway.
And then heat-wise for a chicken, just that, I tend to, you know, put it on and it just comes out like dry every time off the barbecue. Should I have a lower heat for longer when it comes to chicken?
Yeah, good question. So if and with chicken, there really is a bit of a balancing game that you need to play on the barbecue, because so easily, because usually when we're doing chicken, we're having marinated or we have something that's skin on, and both of those are going to cause flare-up because of the fat from the skin on chicken breast, and quite often we'll have sugar with our marinades. So you'll want to make sure that you understand your barbecue well. I always start at a nice hot heat because I want to get that char happening.
Mm-hmm.
But often once I put it on, I will turn it down a bit so I don't get that flare-up happening. And then the easiest and the best way to make sure you're having a consistent temperature all the way through is to use a meat thermometer with chicken.
Okay.
You want to pull it out about 155, 160 if you're cooking a chicken breast, and let that rest for about 10 minutes. The temperature will continue to rise to that 165 mark, which is the recommended temperature for cooking. It really will turn out great for you.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. So yeah, high heat to start, lower it, and then just let it simmer till it hits that sweet spot temperature-wise.
You got it.
Exciting. I'm going barbecuing this weekend. I'm going to try these skills out.
They're barbecue pros.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything you want to say about Meridian Meats, about anything you guys have going on there as we head into the final dog days of summer? I mean, you can barbecue pretty much all year, but I think it's a little bit bigger in the summer and fall here.
For sure. Well, we only get to celebrate the sun a few months of the year this, so we got to take advantage of it. But absolutely, yeah, we have 8 locations throughout the Lower Mainland. We just recently took over Ralph's Farm Market in East Langley, and so we are currently doing renovations there, where we'll have our full service meat case. Should be completed by the middle of September or so. So we're really, really excited to get a full serve butcher shop out in the Eastern Langley area.
Excellent.
Awesome.